The following program is sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
Thank you for joining us today. It's our prayer and our deep desire that we speak a message that touches your life today as you view this program. And I agree with you that you're going to find God's will and God's next step for your life. Listen to this message and let it speak to you today.
You may be seated.
Numbers chapter 13 is where I want to go. Numbers chapter 13, verse 28. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified, very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of giants there. And they go on and say, and the land just eats people up. Caleb quieted the people, verse 30, and said, let us go up and take possession, for we're well able to overcome it. And now quickly, I want you to look at one verse of scripture in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. And the last verse says, so we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. I want to talk to you for just a few moments, something very strongly that the Lord laid on my heart. I've never shared this message, but it's for you. And I want to teach you today three secrets to possessing your possessions or entering into your promised land. God has one for you, a land of promises that He has made concerning you and yours. I was thinking about how that the night that God called me to preach was such an encounter that I had with the Lord in that room where I was, that I heard the Lord say these words to me, if you will go, I will go with you. If you will go with you, and I'll show you things that you never dreamed. And all I had was that word from the Lord but I had been given a promised land, and I knew that God had spoken it to my spirit. And there are many of you here this morning or this afternoon who need to understand the importance of your faith. I want you to notice what happened in this story. The Bible said that the 10 spies came back, 12 of them came back, 2 of them had a good report, but 10 came back and they said, listen, there's grapes there the size of watermelons. There's incredible productivity in the land. But then they started bringing up these excuses. The people are strong people. They gave 4 excuses, 4 reasons why they could not enter. Said, the people that are against us are very strong. And then they said, and not only that, they have a superhuman army backing the strong people that they are. They're sons of Anak, or sons of giants. They're giants in the land also. Not just that the people are strong, but they've got super warriors that are even stronger than the strong people. They're giants. And then they said they're walled cities. They're thick walls around their cities. And then they said, and the land that they inhabit eats people up. I want you to notice what they're focusing on what they saw, not what God said. We need to be reminded and refresh and renew our minds on what God has said more than what we see. God said in Deuteronomy 6:23, I brought you out to take you in to a land, a promise flowing with milk and honey. God didn't bring you out to wander in the wilderness. God did not bring you out to become stagnant, to become intimidated, to become frustrated, to become without direction, but he brought you out to bring you in. If he saved you and brought you out of sin, he didn't just bring you out, but he has something he wants to bring you into. And my question to you this afternoon is, what's keeping you out? Well, they said the walls. The walls are keeping us out. The giants are keeping us out. The strong opposition of the people that are coming against us are keeping us out. And the territory, the terrain is too difficult to overcome. That's what's keeping us out. And you know, the more they hashed and rehashed the walls and the giants and the strength of their enemy and the difficulty of the terrain, the thicker the walls got, the taller the giants got, the more difficult the terrain got, and the people got stronger. But God said, you've heard man's appraisal of why they're not entering in. They blame it on giants. They blame it on walls. They blame it on strong people who are against them. They blame it on the terrain or natural circumstances that they can't overcome because they're not big and strong enough to do it physically. But God said, you want my appraisal of the situation? Here's one answer. One answer. Hebrews chapter 3, the verse that I started with. And he said, they could not enter in because of unbelief. God's observation said it's because of their unbelief. The walls did not stop them. The giants didn't have anything to do with them not going in. The giants didn't stop them, according to God. The walls didn't stop them. The strong people inhabiting the land did not stop them. The terrain did not stop them. God said, all you had to do was believe me. Now, you're giving excuses, and all of us do this. We all do this. But the truth is, if we don't enter into the promised land for our families and our children and our children's children and the destiny that God has for all of us, it will not be because the giants were too mighty or the walls were too thick or they were too big for our God to triumph and overcome. There's only one reason, and he said, it's because you don't believe what I told you. You. R.W. Shambach, who preached in this church and put me on TV. He was an evangelist and a Pentecostal evangelist, and he took up an offering back in the old church on a Sunday night. And we didn't have but a few hundred people back then. It wasn't a big, massive church that it is now. And he got up and said, "The Lord told me this boy's supposed to be," and I was a boy then, "he's supposed to be on TV." And he took up an offering and got $140,000+ cash. And we bought the TV equipment that we needed. But he used to say, "You don't have no problems. All you've got is faith in God." Never forgot that saying. What's keeping you out of your promised land? Number one, unbelief will keep you out. If God said it, it's time to stand up and believe it. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. But my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus." Has anybody made up your mind that the lies and the giants and the walls of resistance are not going to stop you from inheriting those promises? If so, give God a praise right now. Unbelief must be conquered. I'm hurrying to get to the thing I really feel I'm supposed to get to. The second thing that kept them out was intimidation. Intimidation. The Bible said that two of the spies said, "We can do it." And we all know their name, Joshua and Caleb. But 10 said, "We can't." And nobody knows their names. You want to know why? Because nobody wants to remember people who tell us what we can't do. If you want to be remembered, you better tell people what they can do. Tell your family what they can do. Tell your children what they can do. Don't just be a can't, be a can. I honestly couldn't tell you the times that God shoved me out because he knew I was too intimidated to step out and obey him, and I got shoved. It's like that little story I tell sometimes about the multimillionaire in Texas. Had a massive Olympic-sized swimming pool behind his mansion. Was having a barbecue, invited all of his friends over. They went down to the swimming pool, and it was full of alligators. Full of them. And they said, why is your pool full of alligators? He said, "Well, the number one quality that I admire above all others is courage." And he said, "It's known around these parts that anyone who's willing to jump in one end of my pool and swim to the other through the alligators, I will write on the spot $1 million check." They turned around and started walking back up, and all of a sudden they heard splash. They turned around and they watched a man swimming like an Olympic swimmer and almost walking on the water. Somehow he came out. They were chomping, and somehow he came out alive. And the millionaire went running, and he said, "Oh, my God, I've never seen courage on display like that in all my life. That was amazing. Here, who do you want me to make the check to?" He said, "I just want to know who pushed me in." Sometimes you got to be shoved. Sometimes you got to be pushed. I can't tell you the times when I didn't want to do it. I was scared to death. They didn't know. If they knew how intimidated I was, they would say, "Poor, pitiful thing." But God has a way of taking people who his hand is on and shoving you out there. And when you get out there, the gift will make room for you. The gift will start opening doors no man can shut. The gift will pay the bills. The gift will save your family. And the Lord says, "Get ready for a shove. Women, you're about to have God push you out into where he's called you to go." Everybody take a praise break, and I'll keep moving. And this is the last point. I mean, when you understand that intimidation and unbelief kept them out of their promised land. Not giants, not walls, not terrain, not strong enemies, that haters, they can't keep you out. The only thing that can keep you out is unbelief, intimidation, and here's the last one, a grasshopper complex. You know, they said, we are as grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we are in their sight, talking about their enemy. We are and were as grasshoppers in our sight, and so we were in their sight. How you see yourself and how the determines how the enemy sees you. And if you have poor self-image of yourself, the enemy's going to agree with you. We saw ourselves as grasshoppers, and they agreed when we said, we're as grasshoppers, aren't we? And they said, yes, you are. But here's what got me, that I've never seen this. I've never heard this. I've never seen this. This messed me up. This is the whole sermon that I've been hurrying to get to. Here it is. They said, we were in our, plural, we, plural, in our sight as grasshoppers. The problem was not only how I see me, but it's how I see you. It's how I see you. Not just me that can determine whether or not I get into the promised land. It's how, if I see you and you and you and you and you as grasshoppers, grasshoppers. She's not important. She's not important. She's not important. Well, she doesn't have that much money, and she's not that. She's not this. She doesn't have the right kind of red bottom shoes. And you. And when you start seeing others that God has called you to be grouped with as insignificant, they had an improper respect for each other. The grasshopper is just a little insect that you step on. It makes no difference. There's nothing special about a grasshopper. And God said the reason they can't go in is because they see each other as grasshoppers. They see their children as grasshoppers. You might be talking to the next president of the United States. You might be changing the diaper of the next senator from Georgia. Quit seeing those whom God has put in your life as grasshoppers, because your children and your children's children are part of the plan of God's destiny for you in your life. And I'm telling you, I'm so glad when I came to this church 30-something years ago and stood in that pulpit, when I got up, I made crazy statements like, one of these days, we're going to preach the gospel to the whole world from these red clay hills of Northeast Georgia. Had maybe 300 people. Did he say the whole world? But I didn't see those people as grasshoppers. Oh, I feel like shouting. When you hear your little child in there having piano lessons, don't see them as a grasshopper. They may be the next songwriter that brings a song that touches the world. When you see that child in there, we need God to show us who we are and who we have around us. There's not a grasshopper in this building this afternoon. Because here's the deal. They didn't make it in. Not because of the giants in the walls, but because of unbelief, because of intimidation, and because they saw themselves and the others around them. There were people in this church who God would give me messages, and I would preach them like I believed it. And I knew it was going to take millions and millions of dollars to do everything God's called us to do. And so I knew there wasn't enough money in that building right there to get it done. So I had to stop seeing those people as grasshoppers. I'm not praising myself, but God gave me lenses of faith, and I would see them, as some of them, as multimillionaires. Well, oh yeah, nah, I don't believe that that would happen to me. Well, that's why, grasshopper. Why don't you get a new revelation and say, you know what, if that's part of God's plan and I can't shake it, I might as well just get under the blessing and say God is no respecter of persons, and he doesn't just have to have me. Maybe the next trillionaire ought to be a woman of God full of the Holy Ghost. Why don't we stop seeing ourselves as grasshoppers? You don't need a man. You got a man. His name is Jesus, and he'll supply all you need. And then get a man. I dare you to reach over and grab a woman and link up with her and say, let's march into the promised land together. I'm not asking them, are you a grasshopper? Because I'm not one. And I don't want to link up with no little pitiful, poor me, pitiful me, woe is me, he left me. Who gives a rip? Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Grab hold of a sister and say, let's do this. We can do this. We can raise families in a demonic time. We can raise champions for the glory. We can see our sons and daughters prophesy. Let's do this. I believe today, while you're viewing this program, the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you. And it's time for you today to invite him and his great presence into your life. Just repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, cleanse me, heal me, help me. I can't help myself. I can't get myself free. I need a deliverer. I need a savior. I need you, Lord Jesus. I bow to you. I give you my life today. Heal me, help me. Lift me, forgive me, cleanse me. In Jesus' name I ask. There's power in that name. There's power in that name. I speak healing over every household today. I speak the power of God into every situation. Every person stressed, every person who feels like you're at the end of your rope. Every person listening to me that you just feel like you're out of options and you don't know where to turn, it's not by chance you're watching this program. He's still the answer. His name is Jesus. Speak that name. Speak it, and peace comes wherever that name is invoked. In Jesus' name, I speak health and healing and comfort and the angels of God around your life. In Jesus' name. And I want to welcome you to the family of God. I can't tell you how excited we are that you just made the major decision, the most important decision in your life, to follow Jesus Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior. Fill out our salvation form. You can go there. We'll send you free a 21-day devotional to help you in your new relationship with Jesus. You don't have to walk alone. And we've got online church and online campus, all of that. And it'll feed your soul. Thank you, and we'll see you next time right here.
Israel is under constant attack from its neighbors on the Gaza Strip. When Hamas shoots rockets, sirens will sound, giving these families of Israel only 15 seconds to find safe shelter. Because of this, these children and their families live in a constant state of stress and trauma. But there is hope. Thanks to your generous support, Jensen Franklin Media Ministries continues to bring comfort to the nation of Israel. The construction is almost completed of the Eshkol Region Kingdom Play School Center. Here, children have a safe place to go to school with peace of mind. knowing they are safe from terror attacks. To keep these children safe when they are home, we have been building nearby bomb shelters. Construction has been completed of 2 bomb shelters, and they have already been used as a safe place to run during the most recent escalation. With a 3rd shelter almost completed, we are answering the call to build a 4th bomb shelter in the Eshkol region. These buildings do more than bring safety to the community. They will be used for trauma therapy that children and families desperately need. Every time you help us break ground on a bomb shelter, you are helping us break the chains of fear in these precious people's lives. Thank you for your support of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries as we fulfill biblical prophecy and bring comfort to the people of Israel. Call now or go online to see how you can bring help and healing to hurting children in Israel today.
For over a decade, Jensen Franklin Media Ministries has provided the resources to send 272,000 meals every month to the precious people of Haiti. With all that Haitians have endured this year, this critical food supply has become even more important. Free Chapel was able to host a packing event that prepared the actual meals that are delivered to Haiti. Over 1,300 Free Chapel volunteers packed 272,160 life-giving meals. From here, meals will be shipped to our 300,000-square-foot food distribution center in Haiti that we built in partnership with missionaries Bobby and Sherry Burnett of Love and Child Ministries. It's then loaded onto trucks that we've provided that deliver meals to families and children in even the most remote areas of the nation where it's needed most.
We want to thank you, Pastor Jensen, on the behalf of Sherry and I and Love a Child. And I know many of you also help financially.
God bless you.
Thank you because it could not be at no better time for after the earthquake. Food is a crisis. People are desperate. And this container of food of 272,160 meals will pave the way to help bring the gospel and show the love of God here in the country of Haiti. Thank you.
This program has been sponsored by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry.